This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to thank everybody for listening and getting involved in our conversations all day long. Also want to thank Rhino Shield for bringing you Gridiron Gravy. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Now, we mentioned that yesterday the rankings of the most valuable franchises from Sportico. Obviously, the Dallas Cowboys come up at number one. In fact, I believe their valuation year over year jumped $1.1 billion. The difference between the Cowboys and the second team on the list is the same as the second team on the list down to 21. That is how huge the gap is that the Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in the NFL. So the top 10 goes like this: Cowboys, Rams, Giants, Patriots, 49ers, and then Jets, Dolphins, Eagles, Raiders, Commanders. But the question that got kicked around here is, if the Cowboys are the most valuable, and they definitely are, why don't they act like it? Now, Corey, I'm going to go over to you first because I really thought this was a great question by you.
Doesn't it feel like the teams that are the biggest teams in sports will move mountains to make their team a winner?
Yes.
They look, man, we need to get Shohei. Let's go spend the money to get Shohei. As a matter of fact, Kevin, since the year 2000, the Dodgers have been as low as 10 on payroll, but consistently top three in payroll.
Okay.
The Yankees consistently top 1, 2, 3. Actually, Kevin, 6 is the lowest they've been. That was in 2018.
Wow.
Other than that, it's ones across the board in a time, and for that time where it was all ones, they were a dominant team. The Steinbrenners would go out and get whoever it was. Look at him right now. Who hit 3 home runs last night?
Juan Soto.
Because they said, is he one of the best players in the game? Let's go get the best player in the game. And they went and paid for it. And here we are haggling with Dak and CeeDee Lamb and potentially Micah down the road. Instead of saying, look, we're going to do everything we can to ensure that we have the best competitive team on the field. You know what? We're going to go hire. We're going to go draft small because we're a small market team. No, you are in one of the top 4 markets. Are we moving into top 3 at some point here? Probably so. Maybe. With the way things are about to turn. You're in one of the top 4 markets in the country. You are the most valuable team by miles.
Yep.
By countries, like you're like that far ahead of That's people fair. That you can make these moves and it's not going to hurt you in the same way. So I don't understand why the Cowboys act like they are poor, like they are scrapping for pennies all the time, much like Cincinnati, and saying we can't build a winner the same way as all the best teams out there.
I'm really glad that you brought up Cincinnati Because I know the argument is going to be made, well, yeah, there's a more strict salary cap or a more realistic salary cap in football.
I was thinking this as he was comparing baseball and football. I like you bringing this up.
Okay, and I did think about that. But then you brought up the example of Cincinnati. Cincinnati was like, we have a player that we're sure that needs to be around. Let's go ahead and get that done.
Joe Burrow?
Yes.
Yep. Get done.
The other one they're still working on. They're like, oh, we'll see. How much practice are you willing to miss? But for the Cowboys, it feels like they're always dragging their feet in contract negotiations. They say it's because of the cap. I have never been able to shake the feeling that they think that the deal is somehow going to get cheaper. Like, that is how I feel. When they talk about all the leaves falling,
we're going to pressure them into getting a cheaper deal, or somebody out there is going to sign a cheaper deal, and then we're going to get the benefit of signing them for less as well.
That is exactly what I think. So I understand if people are like, yeah, but the salary cap, I agree with that. But I also do still think the Cowboys sit here and they're like, yeah, but they'll take a discount because we're the Cowboys. And then to your analogy about the Dodgers, the Yankees, they're like, I don't care about getting a discount. I'm going to go get that person because that's who the hell I am.
They're the best. Whenever there are free agents out there that are available that can be added to your team, the Cowboys aren't really interested, and they're barely even making real offers to those players.
Yeah.
Like, there have been defensive ends, there have been war daddies out there to go get and pursue. And the Cowboys are like, we're going to go make a push at it. How about $4 million? And you're like, that dude's probably going to make 16.
Yeah.
And you have the 16 to spend on the guy, but you just refuse to for whatever reason because you got to keep your powder dry. Is that what it is? That it just doesn't feel like, for me, it feels like the Cowboys, like, it's the cheaper way, it's the more functional way to draft our guys, keep things here, and then whenever we have stars that we can spend on because they're actually benefiting our $10.32 billion, we'll invest in them, but we're not going to invest in other people.
So here's my question to you. It's only a question. Is this Stephen Jones or is this Jerry Jones?
I don't know.
That is a great question that I can't quite figure out, because it does seem like there are times that they have very different philosophies, but then there are other things that they say and do that it feels like they are exactly in lockstep. And then I know people will bring up the actual cash spent by teams over 5-year period, and people will try to use that as an example of why the Cowboys are cheap. I don't think that shows why the Cowboys are cheap. I think that shows why the Cowboys are bad at the salary cap. But then they continue to put one foot in, one foot out. Like, when it comes to Dak and CeeDee, right? Well, you know, we got to wait and figure this out because the salary cap and the future and everything. Okay, but we brought Zeke back and paid him some additional money, even though you had to cut that other contract. And their response is, well, those are two different contracts and you have to see that. And I'm like, I do see that, but you have to see how you got cost the dead money on your cap.
Is the fear there because Zeke's contract, he still had 2 years?
Yeah, correct.
So is the fear there that if we go ahead and renegotiate with you early, that you're going to demand on the next contract, once the money starts going up, you're going to demand to renegotiate that contract again too? And we're just going to be in this perpetual cycle of renegotiating every year with you because you're just going to threaten to hold out on us after we gave you the most money?
I think that was a unique situation, specifically with Zeke, in terms of his agent saw the way it was going and it's like, there's no way you'll continue to get better, as you can argue with most running backs. And the Cowboys were in a spot where they were like, we're primed to win now. There is a tiny part of me that wonders, as the CD thing goes on longer, if they're like, no, we want to get the deal done, but it doesn't feel like the Zeke deal because we thought we could definitely win a Super Bowl that year. Maybe this year they don't think that.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to now ask another question. I know I'm kind of changing this to I'm asking the questions on this, because I think people, being honest here, I think people get tired of my opinions on the Dallas Cowboys. I've given up on them.
Sure.
So I'm not going to express my dissatisfaction right now. I'm going to ask you guys questions, and I think you guys are 100% engaged in, like, this team being great again.
I am engaged in that, absolutely.
And, you know, like, I've given up on it, but I'm asking this question, and it's a real question is, do you think if it is Stephen Jones, if I'm going to go to that, if it is Stephen Jones, he's a younger guy, obviously, like, Jerry is getting close to the end. Stephen has, we think, decades left of life. Do you think that he's studying this tremendously to become better at it, to maybe beat people to the punch on what the, like, people are going to look at Stephen Jones maybe 3 to 5 years from now and go, hey, we need to look at what Stephen's doing here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that you're putting your heart and soul into trying to figure out how to be the best at this so that your team can be better on the field?
I don't. And here's why. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm just going to base this on one particular thing, as well as all of the interactions we've had over the years. It's the thing that he said about Micah's deal coming up that boggled my mind. Is we brought it up to him and he goes, well, yeah, but that just happened. Like, he just became eligible for that deal. And I'm like, I know that. He knows that. And so does his agent. Surely you must know. And he plays a position, or a nebulous position, at which the price isn't going down. Mm-hmm. Like, if he played one of the positions, like maybe center, you can make an argument. Some of those prices are going down a little bit. Not where Micah plays, not where CD plays, not where Dak plays. So I don't understand why, if you're sure Micah Parsons is a part of this team and you need to keep him around, why you don't strike immediately, because then you have more room to flatten out some of the signing bonus money. Instead, you wait until the fact that, well, now it's going to be a lot tougher. You have one less year to flatten out that CD money, and you've already got them locked in at that $18 million. And I know the argument is, well, you can use the franchise tag. Well, you're going to run out of franchise tags at some point, especially with those two going at the exact same time. So that's why I think the answer is no, because I really hated that answer. I was hoping that he would go, you're right, and we have begun to engage in those conversations, but it feels like they want to see how the market plays out. Maybe that's just not how people talk, and that's too much information. But then I would be like, that's a fair point, because it takes both sides. Like, you can't force Micah to sign a contract if his agent's like, no, I think we can get 38. Let's wait another year.
From the 830, there's a cap limit, Corey. I know this. I've been doing this for a minute. You can't give everyone $50 million a year.
Agreed.
But you sure can go and say Mozzie isn't good enough and we have to be better at that position, instead of saying, you know what, we just have to settle on Mozzie's going to have to grow up this year. And that's where, okay, you know what, we decided that we're going to go with Sam Williams this year and that's going to be our guy. Unproven commodity.
Sure.
Potentially chaos whenever he makes a bonehead move on the field. But we got to go with him because we invested a draft pick in him. He's cheap and we got to see what he can do. And then he gets hurt and your backup is a rookie. And that's what I'm saying, is your level of talent across the board dipped during the offseason and you didn't do the things that were necessary to take that talent to the next place. That's what the best teams do. They say, we have a hole, we got to patch that hole up immediately.
And here's another argument I'm going to make to the you can't pay everybody $50 million. Like, obviously, on the actual surface of that, I certainly agree with that. But here's the rest of it. I actually don't agree with that line of logic, because the Cowboys trot that out a lot. Remember back in 2021 when Dak Prescott signed the 4-year, $160 million deal? Oh, my Lord, $40 million per season? We're done. We'll never be able to compete. Here is salary cap hits. $17.2 million, $19.7 million, $26.8 million. Because they kept backloading it because they were like, he's going to be here for a while. Now they're stuck in a spot where they don't give him money and he walks, you have to pay him $40 million. I agree that you can't pay everybody all of the money. But if you got the Micah deal done now and then you did the CD deal. Now, the fact that those three are all available for extensions at the same time is less than ideal. But if you would have done CD last year or done Dak last year and then handled Micah this year, you actually can absorb that hit much easier. I'm not arguing everybody gets to be the highest paid at their position. The Jones family is right about that. But if you stagger them out better and you do it before their contract is up, you absolutely can afford to do some of these things.
Yeah, that is for sure. I look at this at the team that said, you know what, we're not good enough at cornerback. Or actually, we're pretty damn good at cornerback. Let's go get Stephon Gilmore so we can be even better at cornerback next year. How did that help you last year? Well, Trayvon Diggs goes down. Your star that you just signed a big contract to. Well, guess what? You were able to say, we still have Stephon Gilmore. And he's very good. And now, Bland, we have a lot riding on you. But you had Stephon Gilmore there. You said, you know what? We're not good enough at wide receiver. Let's go get Brandon Cooks. I give them credit for what they did last year. For backing off of it this year is where I look at it and say, I don't understand why you're backing away from it. And the pursuit of the championship is the other thing, too. If Mike has been, you've said this a number of times, that you feel like a lot of this CeeDee Lamb thing, this Dak thing, headlines. Let's keep ourselves in the headlines by having this. We'll wait it out. We're going to get the stories. We're going to get the questions. We understand those things are going to happen. You are by far the richest team. What do you need? What do you need that presence for still? You're the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And that should be the thing, too. We're the Cowboys. Because of our class, because we win all the time, because we do these things, that's why people want to be associated with our brand. And that's and that part of it, I understand, because you are the cream of the crop. You're the top of the ladder. That's why people want to be with you. That's what I want whenever I see $10.32 billion and we act like it too.
Somebody asked this question. I do think this is a fair question. How many teams that don't have a rookie or Hall of Fame quarterback are like kind of acing the salary cap? And so a couple of things. First of all, I think that's a great point. I'm glad they brought it up. That is one of my issues with the way the Cowboys do business. They long ago should have decided if Dak was the guy or not, instead of waiting for the last year every single time. But just take a look at the NFC last year. Here are the last four teams in the NFC. San Francisco, I get it. Brock Purdy makes no money. That makes life significantly easier. Green Bay, remember at this time, they had already spun out of the Jordan Love contract, and that was a different deal now. Detroit and Tampa Bay, Jared Goff and Baker Mayfield. I mean, we'll see what the future holds, but I don't think anyone would argue that right now those are Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and they're certainly not on their rookie deals, and yet Detroit made it to the NFC Championship game. So I understand that person's point. I think their point is very well made, but it is possible. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy in just a few minutes, but right now. How about we do some Mike Likes It?
All right. So MLB.com have officially re-ranked all the prospects. So we have a new top 100 list. Obviously, guys like Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford, who to start the year were on the list, are off the list. They don't qualify anymore as prospects because they have enough major league service time. Number one is Jackson Holliday. Yes, he is up, and probably by the time we get to the new rankings in the offseason, he'll be off the list. But right now, Jackson Holliday still is number one. Number two, Junior Caminero. He is a middle infielder, even can play third base for Tampa Bay.
I saw him play third base last night. He made a really good play. Yeah.
Then you have Dylan Cruz, who was the second overall pick in the 23 draft from LSU. He is number three on the list, outfielder for Washington. Then we get to kind of younger guys. Walker Jenkins, Minnesota, high school kid we were talking about that maybe the Rangers would get. Marcelo Meyer, who is the shortstop, who the Rangers were decided, from what we understand, at number two in the 2021 draft, they had two guys they really liked. One, Jack Leiter, pitcher from Vanderbilt. And number two was Marcelo Meyer, high school shortstop. He right now is 21 years old. He is the number five overall prospect in all of baseball as a shortstop. He'll probably be the starting shortstop next year for the Boston Red Sox. Carson Williams, Tampa Bay shortstop. Max Clark, outfielder, Detroit. We talked about him in the Wyatt Langford draft. Yeah. Then Detroit has a right-handed pitcher here, top-ranked pitcher on the board, Jackson Jobe for Detroit. Jordan Lawler, the Dallas Jesuit kid who we saw, he was with Arizona. He's been hurt a lot this year. And then number 10, another Baltimore Oriole. By the way, number 11 is also another Baltimore Oriole. Coby Mayo and then Samuel Basali, if I'm saying his last name right, catcher, first baseman. Now, okay, I gave you the top 10. Probably you're listening going, who cares? But I wanted to give you the top 10.
I would never.
Obviously, there's no Texas Ranger.
I didn't hear any Rangers in there.
At number 38 is your top-ranked Ranger, and that is Sebastian Walcott, the 18-year-old shortstop. They also have him as dash third baseman. Now, I want to talk about him for just a second. If he's not going to be a shortstop, and I keep hearing this, and I get he's only 18, what are you doing then? Why are we wasting our time?
Yeah.
This would be my main question if I am Kip Fagg, the kind of head scout running a lot of things, or if I'm the head field director in the minor leagues, or if I have a top job, why are we playing a young man at a position we know he's never going to play in his life in the major leagues? If I'm getting that answer from everybody, if everybody's telling me he's never going to be a shortstop, why am I wasting my time? I just gave you in Baseball Nuggets, Wyatt Langford is trying to figure out left field. Well, if I know that Sebastian Walcott's going to be an outfielder, stick him in the outfield.
I agree with you 1,000%. I absolutely do. And maybe their mindset is, hey, just baseball players play baseball. They go out there and play. But Mike, is a shortstop more valuable in trades than a third baseman? That I feel like that's the only thing.
If the other team believes, if everybody's telling, if all the Rangers don't believe he's going to be a shortstop, then probably the scouts on other teams don't think he's going to be a shortstop either. So yes, if I'm looking for a trade for him, which I don't think I think the Rangers, he's a no-go for any trade.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's.
I wonder if they've talked to him about that too. If they're like, look, man, you're not going to be a shortstop. And if he's just like, well, okay. I don't know. I don't know either. Should you talk to the player and say, nobody really sees you as this?
I could see how that would.
Your avenue's probably going to be better here.
I could see how that would hinder your confidence, or maybe in some cases be like, the hell I'm not. Watch.
Now, here's the bad news. There's nobody else on this board for the Texas Rangers. So there is 100 prospects ranked. You have number 38, Sebastian Walcott. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think anybody even deserves to be mentioned.
Yeah.
For a top 100 prospect. Kamar Rocker has been hurt for his whole career, pretty much. He is now healthy, but I can't put him on a top 100 list. Brock Porter, off the board. Porter struggled so much, they refused to pitch him in front of anybody because of what has happened to his development. That's scary. If you're wondering where Brock Porter and Kamar Rocker are from your last draft, your 2022 draft, right? Yeah. 2023, Wyatt Langford. Hey, he's struggling tremendously right now in the major leagues, but that's a good pick if you think he's already major league worthy, very short into his career. But literally, there's nobody else. Everybody has gone off the board. And I will tell you, I don't know this,
But probably when they're getting to number 80 through 100 and they're trying to make these decisions on who should be on this top 100 board, which is a big board. Remember, as far as I can recall, nobody got traded off of this board from the from the trade deadline. Nobody was willing to part with any of these top 100 prospects because that's how valuable people think they are in baseball today. You're almost off the board for getting traded if you're a top 100 prospect, and the Rangers have one on the board.
Man, that's not good for us at the moment.
Not at all. Now, I guess the good news is, as I was like scanning through here, I don't think I saw a Houston Astro.
Good.
Yeah, their farm system's not good either.
They're depleted, Kevin.
I
liked it a lot better, though, when I could be like, yeah, and we have this person and this person and this person.
And then on top of that, we're at the top of the food chain.
Yes.
While we also have a great farm system.
I don't enjoy it as much when I'm like, hey, they're
worse. Not good, and our farm system's not good right now.
Yeah, not the best news as I'm scanning through. Seattle, who is much better than you this year, they have number 30, number 37, number 48, number 53. I know there's one more down here, number 73. So, number 94. Was that six numbers? I think I named six guys.
That's a lot.
So Seattle, who has a nice team.
Yeah.
And they're having an okay season. They're having above 500, but not a great season. They have six dudes on the board. So now, I think Anaheim, LA, whatever you want to call them, the Angels, they don't have much on the board. They're 5 years away from being 5 years away. Now, I will say this. If you haven't noticed, and you shouldn't have, the Oakland A's, I believe, have the best record in the American League in the month of August.
They do? I definitely did not notice
A's
that.
A's are kicking ass.
So the A's are getting, I'm not saying they're
don't
ready to compete for a division next year or whatever, but Oakland is playing pretty good baseball of late, and they're, I think, going to play in Sacramento next year. That's supposedly the plan.
Right.
But I think that's where we're at with the prospect situation. So as we look towards 2025 for the Rangers, to me, I'm in total. This is my philosophy, and I think the Rangers are very close to this. I think they're a couple games away from this, if not they're there already. 2024 is over. Yeah. What do we need to do to get ready for 25 in our farm system, at our major leagues? Who should we give the ball to? I'll tell you what. He's not on this list. The young man, why is it Tinoco?
Yes.
Tinoco.
Jesus Tinoco, right?
Put him in the major leagues.
Because you want to see what they've got now.
Yeah.
This is the worst record that the Rangers have had this year in terms of games below 500. Yeah. And so I'm probably with you. The one thing I wonder, and I don't know if you can touch on this right here for us or not. I see the appeal of whether it's him, whether it's just sticking with Leiter and see what you got for a little bit longer. How much is there a concern about damaging a young pitcher's, I guess, confidence? Because I know at some point or another, you got to do it, but it's usually a slow process for the pitchers. Is there any worry about like, man, he got rocked and we might have broken him?
Yes. Yeah, I do believe in that. But if you're on a rebuilding team, and you're not totally rebuilding right now, but the season's over for competing for a playoff spot, sometimes it's easier because that person knows. I'm not saying it's easy, it's easier. Jack Leiter, you're getting the ball every fifth day.
Yeah,
you can give up 20 runs a game.
Yeah,
you're gonna get the ball every fifth day. We're gonna put you on the routine. You're gonna be on the major league schedule and pitch every fifth day no matter what happens, unless you get hurt. If you get hurt, then you're out. But I do think it helps guys out develop when, let's just say, Tinoco. I don't know if he's going to start in September for the Texas Rangers or relieve for the Texas Rangers. But if they trend towards more of a reliever, or you're watching his innings, then give him the ball in the sixth or seventh inning.
Yeah.
If there's a game on the line, let's see how he does. Now, maybe the first game you put him in, you're down by three runs in the fifth inning. Great. I agree with that. Let's ease him in. But we get to September 20th. Right now, Kirby Yates, David Robertson, Leclerc, Spores is, I hate saying this, he's always hurt. Like, you don't have anybody for the sixth through the ninth inning next year on your team. Literally, there's not a human being that we know of that can pitch with a 1, 2, or 3-run lead in the 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th inning on the Texas Rangers in 2025. What if you give the ball to Tinoco and he looks like Emmanuel Clase?
Yeah.
I'm throwing it out. Now all of a sudden you're like, hey, I don't know if I have a definite yes, but dang, that looked pretty good to give him the ball in the 7th inning in 2025. That's what the Rangers need to start doing. And this list of the top 100 isn't inspiring. And then you need to give the ball to Jack Leiter, to me, starting September 1st. As long as he's healthy,
you give the ball
to him every 5th day. He gets 5 starts in the month of September, and you just see what happens. It could be, if it's okay, I don't know if it'd be good, like a 3.5 ERA or better. I'm not expecting that. But if he puts up a 4.5 ERA, you're like, all right, man, like, let's run him out there as our 5th guy next year. Because you're limited budget-wise. I think that they're going to try to trade John Gray in the offseason. I think John Gray had a lot of interest before injury, and then the Rangers weren't going to go into selling at 3.5 games back. So I do think in the offseason that $13 million, 1 year, $13 million for 2025, I think that they're going to look to get that off the books. Not that they don't think John Gray's good. I think that they think they get something back for him and they can use that money and not use it. But they're going to be like, we're going to replace it with a $750,000 pitcher.
I know it's easy with hindsight to look at it this way, but is there any part of you that can reflect now and be like, ugh, maybe Bobby was right, and we all wish that they would have just been like, sell, sell, sell?
I'm going to be stubborn about it. And
well,
say no.
I don't think it's stubborn because you can still say you were within striking distance.
If the Rangers would have done that, I wouldn't have disagreed with them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I also didn't disagree with where they're at going, hey, because let's... Evaldi, not coming back next year, most likely. Like, it's going to... Max Scherzer, career might be over.
Yeah.
But probably not a Texas Ranger next year. Andrew Heaney, probably not a Texas Ranger next year. Yates, Robertson, Leclerc, probably not Texas Rangers next year. It was kind of, when you look at it, yes, I can go down the Bobby route. But I can also go... this might be our last chance to push for a playoff spot again for the next 3 years. I don't know. I hope not. Cool. But if you're going into, we cannot afford starting pitching. It has to come from the farm system. Remember, I just named our farm system Sebastian Walcott, who's 18 years old. That's the tough part of it.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, thank you very much for that edition of Mike Likes It. If you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce for the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold and brings you our interview with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are we doing?
We're doing all right. Doing all right. I'm curious, can you give us an evolution of managers talking to umpires? Because it feels like you used to be able to argue with an umpire a lot more. Now it feels like they'll just kick you out straight away.
Well, that's, you know, when you're talking ball, you know, balls and strikes, that's automatic. So, you know what? Agon Wyatt's had so many calls go against him on those and they're somewhat close calls, but they're balls. And, you know, he does a good job of laying off. He doesn't get rewarded. And it's a big situation. And but anyway, yeah, you know you're getting thrown out at that point when you walk out there.
Have you had a conversation with Wyatt about, like, hey, we appreciate that at bat. We know you've been getting some bad luck with the umps. Does that conversation take place at all?
Yeah, there's been conversations about that with him, but, you know, he knows what it is. Tell you, he's a man. He gets it. You know, sometimes they're going to go against you, and he doesn't complain about it, but last night you could see it get to him. That's why he went out there. You know, it's like, man, I did a good job laying off that pitch. It's a big situation. Bases loaded. We're 2 runs down, and he gets rung up there, and you know, it's, and then granted, it was close, but still, it just seems like it always goes on the other end with him. And you know, with how things are going right now, we had a heck of a rally, and base loaded, went out, and the young lines out, and came up short again.
Boach, there's this commercial on during Ranger games, and it's the players having quick blurbs about you and why you are a great manager to them. And Travis Jankowski says, no matter what, he's the same every day. He doesn't let the ups and downs of a game or a season, he's the same guy. How long did it take you to maybe not let a loss show how it affected you to your team, to your players, or when wins happen that you're not too high and the players notice a difference in their manager in those situations?
Well, I'll start with, you know, don't let, you know, what that perception is or what externally is showing, what, you know, what belies what's going on underneath. I mean, there's, I don't care who you are, you know, you get in something like this, yeah, it bothers you. But my job is to try to be the same, walk in a clubhouse the same. Yeah, you got to show emotion, you know, whether you're getting on them or, you know, you're trying to calm them down. You know, that has to happen. You just can't be the same guy. But I'll say this. When I was younger, I had different managers, different styles. Had the yellers, screamers when we lost. You know, tipping over the spread, and you know what? I don't think that really served a lot. And I did that in the minor leagues coming up. You know, I thought that was the way to go. But I had a couple of players. You know, they talked to me. Guys that were really close to that you know were teammates of mine. And later, I became their manager. And so I just realized the importance of trying to keep things calm because you don't need them, you know, to tighten up. You don't need tension in the clubhouse. This game's hard enough to play. Now, if it's, you know, lack of hustle or just, you know, continued mental lapses, yeah, that's a different story. But, you know, they're going out there, they're doing their best, they're trying as hard as they can. Yeah, I think my job is, you know, that try to keep the ship in calm waters and just try to steer it in the right direction.
Well, my co-host Kevin, his go-to is to throw his phone across the room whenever he's upset something. What's your go? Do you walk into your office after that, kind of close the door quietly, like kick a chair or something, or how do you let off steam, Boach?
Man, you know what? I'm a phone thrower.
Okay,
yeah, I'm pretty good at it. Yeah, I come in here and I've gone through a couple phones. Glasses too, you know. I've had to get some new glasses. You know, throwing those, and you know, after 5 minutes of it, you know, you got to let it go. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just going to keep you up. It's going to compound, the situation because the next day you're going to come in miserable. They're going to see that. They're going to, you know, maybe feed off that. But, yeah, the phone's always a good one to throw.
I'm glad you brought up the glasses, too, because I was just talking with Mike about your glasses. Mike has the same, I think you both have the same pair of Oakleys that you're wearing, and that's a different glasses that I'm used to you seeing. Was it because they were broken, or were you just like, you know what, I'm ready to make a change here?
No, I did break my other Oakleys that they made for me last year, and they were, you know, really good luck Oakleys. And so it took me a while to get these. And so anyway, I got them, and I was hoping they would bring that same luck. They haven't quite done it yet, but, you know, it's not over, and I'm still hoping. But, yeah, they do a nice job for you. You know, they'll make sunglasses for you, prescription sunglasses, or the ones I'm wearing now.
You said it's not over. Do you see your team feeling that same way right now, that they kind of come to the park every day with that, we can do something special?
Well, we talked about it a little bit in New York. You know, we're fighting for our lives. You know, we have to play like it. And, you know, and this has been a tough trip, you know. Your pitching's there, you don't hit, or vice versa. But what, you know, we're trying to figure out this early struggle in the game. I'm talking about the first five innings. This is crazy what's going on. And so anyway, we change up the lineup, we change up the routine, how we get ready, bring them in later, trying to let them catch their breath, doing what we can do, hopefully, to break up the monotony of not hitting much the first five innings.
Now, I know yesterday the opportunities weren't there, but there have been times in the first five innings y'all have had opportunities early in the game and they just don't get converted. I know you were just talking about that, but anything that you think has led to the lack of conversion in these early innings too?
I wish I had an answer for you. You know, yeah. It comes down to the guys coming through for you, you know, getting a clutch hit. I'd like to see, you know, some hard hit balls, getting some better swings off. And that's what we were used to last year. And last year, it's gone. You can't lean on yesterday's headlines. That's done. But still, you know, these guys are. They're just better than what's going on right now. And really across the board, we just have a lot of guys with down years.
When it comes to Wyatt Langford, I know that lately he's been struggling offensively, but defensively, I've liked a lot of things that I've seen. Obviously, yesterday was a tough game defensively for a couple reasons. Is Fenway Park one of the toughest places to play left field if you've never played there before?
Well, I think you said the key word, never. If you've never played there, yeah, it can be. That wall's right on you. You know, you're learning to play the ricochet and end up making a nice play, you know, with a perfect throw to second base, to nail them. And, this outfield, it's got seven or eight different angles that you got to be prepared for, mostly in that center field area, but left field too. It just gets on that wall quick. You go back, and then it can ricochet past you. Have you ever seen the game High Lie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like you learn to play High Lie, you know, and they call it a rebotate High Lie, but it's to bounce back off the wall. And guys that have played a lot, man, they get so good at it, it's hard to get a double.
When it came to in the first inning, is that Leody, when your back is against, you know, you're not seeing where the runner is that the center fielder's job to be yelling at Langford or whoever the corner outfielder is on where the ball's supposed to be thrown?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a great game for us in the outfield yesterday. Yeah. They're supposed to communicate, help each other. It's loud here. It's packed. So, you know, it's a little bit different with such a short left field. And, you got to realize in most parks, it's a sure double. We had to tell our players, you hit a ball off the wall, don't think it's a sure double. You go hard, but you got to watch the throw. And same with the outfield. They're used to getting the ball and maybe just thinking of hitting the cutoff end. They got to come out and fire that ball. And for relays, you know, I thought we could have been a little bit better, but, we just got to, get the ball in as quick as we can because it's so short from left field.
Is it, in fact, I believe, is Dane Dunning getting the start today? And then how much was he affected by having to get up and warm up a couple of times yesterday?
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on him. We were in a tough situation yesterday where, you know, we don't want to overuse anybody. Guys have been up. So we check with him. He's good to go. We'll watch him, though. If we have to shorten him up, then, we'll do that. We think we got some coverage. With Dane, he got up twice. Yeah, he got, he was ready to go in, too. So that's what you have to realize. He did get hot.
You know, we were talking a little bit, and you just mentioned it's loud there, and we were talking about the Andrew Chafin moment. That crowd was going nuts because they were excited about what Chafin wasn't doing at the time. They were feeling like they could rattle him just a little bit, and I was kind of curious on that front when it comes to a crowd like that. Is it more the communication that is the distraction, or is it nerves for guys, and what do you talk about with guys whenever they're going through something like that?
You got a big crowd that you got to look forward to it, whether you're on the road or at home, and you got to you really should feed off it, even if you're on the road, man. It should get you amped up. That's how we try to get these guys to play. You know, hey, this is why you play the game, and so a guy with Chafin, I don't know if that affected him. He's been pitching a long time. He's played in front of big crowds a lot. So, he's one of our leverage guys, and I don't see that affecting him. But last two outings, he just is not getting the ball where he needs to. So he was definitely off yesterday. We'll see how he's doing today.
We heard about the live bullpen for Jacob DeGrom. I wanted to know, how positive is it for you when DeGrom bounces out of that and he's like, I feel really good. It's been a long time since I've been out there. I feel really good.
The way he was throwing, I was sitting there going, man, we should have saved this for an inning or two tonight. I mean, his changeup's 90, and slider's 92, 93. He bumped 99. I mean, locating well. It's been really cool to see his progress down this long road that he's had to go down, and he's excited. So anyway, I think he throws Friday. He'll throw the hitters, and then we'll decide what we're going to do on the next one.
But I assume everyone's on the same page that he said, I intend or want to pitch this regular season.
Yeah. Yes, I think that would be big for him. We're not going to do it just to say, hey, we did it.
Yeah.
We're gonna make sure he's ready. But I think he will be. I mean, the way he's throwing right now, he'll be starting to rehab here probably in a couple weeks.
Excellent. Appreciate the time. As always, good sir. We'll catch up with you again next week.
All right, guys. Sorry I missed you. You know, I'm in a dungeon down here in Fenway, and I missed your call.
It's all right.
No problem. No problem.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. We'll see you.
Go get Rangers.
There you go. Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. You know, if bold flavor is something you're after, grab a bottle or 10 of the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers, the original Louisiana brand hot sauce. Flavor favors the bold.
Spicy.
Now,
Bayou.
We got some big football news while we were doing that interview.
We did it.
I don't know if that is the proper
CD
reaction.
CeeDee Lamb's been signed?
Nope.
Oh.
While doing the surgery, they discover that J.J. McCarthy does, in fact, have a meniscus injury, and it will end his season.
Dang, that stinks.
He is out for the year.
That means they got to deal with Sam Darnold the whole season.
Bring back Kellen Mond?
The only other option, I think.
Know.
Yeah.
They drafted him in the second round just a few years ago.
I think that's the only option, Kevin.
What's Mond doing?
I mean, I feel like he's bounced around and not stayed on with many teams.
Tell you what.
Who's their third?
I'll do it. I'm going to throw out this hypothetical.
Oh, Nick Mullins.
Would you trade Trey Lance for their fourth round pick next year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're willing to do it, I mean, I would absolutely take a pick from him.
I mean, I know it's early, but think about something Mickey said earlier. He goes, hey, Trey Lance is going to try to compete or was going to try to compete with Cooper Rush for the backup quarterback spot. He's not even close. Like, so, yes.
Fifth round pick?
We gave it a shot.
Sure. Not right now.
Oh, here goes Kevin.
You know what? Not right now, because I'm going to give him a start. I'm going to give him two more games. I'm going to probably give him as much as I can of the next game. And a start, I would hope he would start two games. But I want to see him get out there, start, go through a game, experience that, get as many reps as I can, see if he's grown. If he's grown a little bit, maybe I got something. And if he's grown a little bit in those two starts, maybe I got something that's even more valuable I can trade. Yeah.
I'll be curious to see what the Vikings do, or if somehow this will weirdly lead to a resurgence of Sam Darnold.
They're going
to
lose. And then you know what else? Justin Jefferson's numbers are going to stink.
If you're
in fantasy football and you haven't drafted yet,
time to bail.
I'm taking Justin Jefferson down quite a few spots in wide receiver. Nobody's going to pass him the ball.
I am not counting on the Sam Darnold resurgence either. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I guess so. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Man, can we all just get a day off by telling our coach we're going to play with Tiger? Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.